So you guys came to a session about value. Value. So I don't know if you noticed on the sign outside of the door, this is not going to be a technical talk, so it's a non-technical thing. This plane is traveling to Philadelphia. So anyone who's not going to Philadelphia, please exit the plane. So that's seriously though, I know this is a technology conference, but this is a business level topic, so I'm going to address it in that way. So when I talk about technology, it will be kind of in a conceptual way versus some of the other sessions that you'll see here at the conference. But if you prefer a session with a demo or about a product, we have lots of options for you. So there you go. So I tend to think about it this way. We start by identifying value on the left of the picture, and then we use technology to receive that value. So this is really a business level discussion that drives that technical level discussion later on. So why are we even talking about this? Well, we believe that geography can transform. So did any of you see the plenary yesterday? Great. Yes, so there's lots of amazing ways that we use geography, and Jack went through a bunch of them in the beginning of his talk. So we use it to provide services to communities, to optimize logistics, to fight the spread of disease, among many other uses. And we have a sense that geography and GIS can make a real difference for your organization. And I'm going to share some best practices for identifying value so that you can create business outcomes with your own organizations. So what are you going to get out of this session? Well, you're going to get these three things. First, you'll get an approach to identify the value of location information in your organization, whether it's your business or your government organization. Second, you'll get an understanding of why that's important. And third, you're going to get directed to a bunch of resources that can help you. So there are no prerequisites for this session. This is a session that will be understandable to people who are new to this topic, and will also give you enough detail so that you can have some real information to start applying it at your organization. And has anybody ever been snorkeling? Snorkeling? Okay. Got some snorkelers out there. Good. So this talk is going to be more like snorkeling than like scuba diving. So if we go deep, we won't stay there for long. We have to come up for air. Okay? So kind of high level. And it will all be framed around my contract to you. You didn't know this because you probably didn't sign this half, but I have a contract with you, and it's the description of this session in your agenda. And so like all great contracts, here it is in fine print. If it looks familiar, that's because you saw it in your agenda. So I just need to read it real quick. This is what we'll talk about. So realizing a location strategy using the ArcGIS platform has significant potential, but needs to be strongly defined by and aligned with your organization's business. This session outlines a location value assessment approach that to undertake a strategic review to broadly assess your organization by identifying, evaluating, and prioritizing the value that location information and spatial analysis can add to your business. So this location value assessment approach enables your organizations to define which maps are really going to make a difference. So let me just call out some of these terms. First, a location strategy, business alignment, a location value assessment approach, and identify, evaluate, and prioritize. What do these things mean? First, let's start with the location strategy. Let's do a word association activity. What word or phrase comes to your mind when you hear location strategy? Who wants to go?
Site selection.
Anything else?
Well, network plan.
Network plan? Anybody else? What was it? Trade area? Trade area. Great. Those are all great responses. Here's what I think of. I think that a strategy is a high-level plan. And therefore, a location strategy is a high-level plan to use location information and spatial analysis in your organization. I like to call this my vanilla definition. Now, some of you like vanilla. Who likes vanilla? Raise your hand. Pretty good? Okay. About half of you. Some of you want something more. You might prefer a fudge ripple definition. So here's a richer, fuller version prepared painstakingly by one of my colleagues. So a location strategy is a vision and an understanding which motivates organizations to use an approach for adopting WebGIS across an organization. So very fudge-ripply. And here's the second half of that definition. So by a vision, we mean that it's a commitment to proactively use location as a frame of reference for understanding the work you do. And by an understanding, it's really that knowledge of the relevance of geography, its desired uses, and the business value of location information and spatial analysis to your organization. And by an approach, it's a roadmap to incorporate location information and spatial analysis to effectively focus your people, resources, and capabilities through targeted maps and apps. And then when we say organization, we really talk about implementing this vision, this understanding, and this approach across an organization to gain insights, make decisions, and take action. And by WebGIS, that's a technology pattern that enables every employee and contractor to easily discover, use, make, and share maps. Anybody prefer the fudge ripple? I saw somebody take a picture. Some of you? Some people prefer a fudge ripple. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad I have both. So that means that your strategy is a lot of things. Sure, it includes your data and your technology, but it also includes these things: vision and leadership, an understanding of how GIS contributes to the success of your organization, planning and governance, apps that are relevant and engaging, and good people. So for more information on what I just showed you, a location strategy, you should check out Christy Pleiss's presentation tomorrow. It's called Defining and Driving a Location Strategy, and I'll be there too. Now, I saw one person take a picture, but see that image in the corner? That's to remember to tell you that this is worth keeping. So it used to read worth noting, but that looked too much like worth nothing from the back of the room, so now it reads worth keeping. So please take out your pen and paper or your, you know, iPad, Surface, or your phone, as some of you are. It'll go really well next to all those pictures of your kids, your pets, and your whiteboards. Does anybody else have a phone full of whiteboards? There you go. One person with a phone full of whiteboards. Two? So now let's talk about business alignment. So that was strategy. Let's talk about business alignment. So some of you are already familiar with this concept. So can anyone in here describe what happens if you don't have business alignment? Anyone want to take on the tricky question? All right?
A lot of wasted time, money, and effort.
There you go. A lot of wasted time, money, and effort. Anyone agree? Second that? Anybody else have a different? Okay, great. That's a great example. So when we're talking about business alignment, we're referring to how well-suited your GIS is to meet the business needs of your organization. So I developed this benchmarking scale to remind myself. So when your GIS is highly aligned with your business needs, that's good. Conversely, when it's low, that's bad. Does anybody know who came up with this, aside from myself? Does anybody know who came up with this concept of business alignment? Anybody? Enterprise architects. Any enterprise architects in the room? No? Thank goodness. Enterprise architecture is a study that really began to take shape about 30 years ago. And it was born as some IT systems became too expensive and they weren't delivering their expected business outcomes. And there are really two goals of enterprise architecture. First, we increase the value and benefits of what we're doing by making systems highly aligned with what the business needs. And second, we reduce or cost by avoiding unnecessary complexity in systems. So the purpose of this session will really be focused on the left side of that diagram, which is around how do we increase that business alignment. And later, after this session, we can talk about how to reduce complexity. But we're going to focus on the left side for now. So let's ask Dr. Roger Tomlinson, the father of GIS, what business alignment means in practical terms.
Good work.
Sorry. That's actually harder to do than I thought. One second.
If there's one thing that I want you to take away from today, it's that phrase that when you're planning a system, it all depends on knowing what you want to get out of it.
Technical challenges. It's kind of hard to see that and do this at the same time. Okay. So I'll repeat his message to you. If there's one thing that I want you to... Oh, technology. Here's some support. I tried to play the video and then I lost the signal, so I'm gonna reboot. Yeah, doesn't like videos. Sorry guys, there's two more videos, but we won't do those today. Yeah. Okay. Oh, my computer didn't shut down. The projector shut down. Plug it in. Plug it in now. Thank you for your patience. Yes, please. Sure, yes. So I go around and I help organizations develop their strategies. So one of the things we're going to talk to you about today is an activity that you can do called a location value assessment. And location value assessment is an activity that I help facilitate for some organizations. And yeah, there you go. So it's usually on the planning side, pre-implementation. Okay, let's see if this works. Fantastic. Great. Thank you. Sure. Great. So I'll repeat Roger's message. If there's one thing that I want you to take away from today, it's that phrase that when you're planning a system, it all depends on knowing what you want to get out of it. So that's also the theme of his book, Thinking About GIS. So that means for you to get business alignment, your driving purpose needs to come from the business tier. And basically, the needs of each tier drive the requirements for the tier below it. So the business needs determine the information requirements, which determine which data you'll need, which software is needed to prepare that information and support that data, and then what infrastructure is required to support all the tiers above it. So I'll explain in a little bit of how a location value assessment, or an LVA, identifies those needs at the business tier. So this business level clarity can help you avoid pitfalls. So by focusing on how geography is relevant to the business needs, well, that's one of the reasons this is so important. So I'll give you an example of what it might sound like if business is not the driving purpose. So for example, if you're actually making your decisions at the software tier, you may hear a statement like, my organization really needs this product. But later you'll hear a statement like, we installed and configured this product, but no one's using it. Or if you're at the data tier, which is, again, a common tier to be at instead of the business tier, you may hear something like, my organization needs to create a central source to share all of its data. But then later, you'll have, we organized their data, now what do we do? Or if you're at the information tier, you're getting much warmer, and you're getting very close to the business needs. But you'll hear something like, my organization needs story maps and solution templates. But we built some great maps and apps, but people are still doing things the old way. So that's what you'll hear. So I know it's unfortunate, but have any of you in your career worked with an organization that maybe wasn't starting at the business tier? Any of you? At least one of you, right? It's unfortunate, but it can happen. But today we're going to talk about things we can do to avoid these pitfalls. So what does it sound like if you're starting at the business tier? So these are four examples from actual customers, and they follow this LVA approach that I'm going to talk to you about today. And they sound similar, but there's a nuance, so there's slight differences, and maybe you can pick them out. I've been doing geocentric GIS for a long time, but now I'm interested in expanding the number of people and the number of ways I use geography. So now they're starting to talk about how they're using it. Or I embrace the vision of a system of engagement, but since I'm new to GIS and web GIS, how should I get started, right? So there's open-mindedness around starting at the business tier. I'm excited about web GIS technology, but to what ends can I use that technology, and what would those outcomes be worth? So we start talking about outcomes, now we're focusing on business value. And then finally, I think my end users are slow to adopt because they need different maps and apps that meet their more pressing business needs, right? And so that's another example of maybe you start with an approach of deploying an app, but without also making that connection before starting. So if any of these sound like your organization, then this approach might be something that you're looking for. So to make sure that these GIS and the business needs are well aligned, we really need to remember that location information and spatial analysis are just decision-making tools. So they support decision-making by helping us understand where things are, how they relate, what it all means, and what actions to take. To perform spatial analysis well, you need to become skilled at the six categories of spatial analysis. So they include understanding where, measuring size, shape, and distribution, determining how places are related, finding the best locations and paths, and detecting and quantifying patterns, and making predictions. And so as the next resource to you, for more information on spatial analysis and the next resource to you, for anybody who wants to take their picture or write this down, is I highly recommend this free ebook called The Language of Spatial Analysis. So I found it on a thread in GeoNet, and you can download the book directly at this shortened URL, or you can access it you can search that term on GeoNet. Give a second for anybody else who wants to take a picture. Okay. Great. And while you have your phone out, you may want this as well. So that GeoNet thread was related to one of Esri's free online classes called MOOCs. And Jack talked about this at Plenary as well. We have something like 50,000 people have attended one of these MOOCs from over 150 different countries. And these are massive open online courses. And Esri runs three different ones of them right now, I think, and one of them is called Going Places with Spatial Analysis, and it's designed to help you get a better understanding, a deeper understanding of spatial data analysis. So show of hands, how many of you have taken one of these MOOCs? Okay, great, several of you. How many of you have taught in one? Nope, just me? Okay. So what are the ways that which technology is being applied? So how is it being applied in your organization? So what are the common patterns of usage, right, to address these business needs? Conceptually speaking, GIS is used in lots of ways, but it tends to follow these six patterns. We call them location enablement, constituent engagement, decision support, field mobility, analytics, and location data management. And so I'll give you a little explanation of what each one is. So location enablement is really the ability to empower all users to discover, use, make, and share more maps. And constituent engagement is the ability to get feedback and communicate with external constituents or your employees, contractors. Decision support is really around the ability to support your organizational decision-making activities. Field mobility is really about the ability to get information into and out of the field. Analytics is really about the ability to describe, predict, and improve your business performance. And location data management is really about the ability to collect, organize, and exchange information or data about your assets and resources. So if you think about some of the types of things that you do, one of your last GIS projects, it probably aligns with one of these categories. And if you find yourself in a thinking like, oh, I tend to do something in one of these categories, the other categories might be opportunities for you to expand within your organization. So areas that you might not be using GIS that are common across similar organizations. So to understand these patterns in a little more detail, I want to recommend there's a one-page summary in this document. It's called Architecting the ArcGIS Platform Best Practices. So you can download it at our deployment page under the heading Want a Deeper Dive into Deployment Options. So www.esri.com/software/ArcGIS/deployment. Okay. So now that you know, you have a sense for what a location strategy could mean for your organization. And you also understand what it means to be highly aligned with your business. Now I want to get hands-on with an approach that you can take to identify value. We should use a location value assessment approach. So a location value assessment is really the first part, so all the way on the left, of launching your location platform. So we perform this activity during a strategic planning phase, when you want it before you begin to design and implement technology. To help you get started, Esri documented this framework in a simple guide for launching your location platform. It provides details on how to organize your team, maintain momentum, and deliver your vision. The document also includes a checklist, which is helpful because by understanding where you are in the process, you can have confidence in knowing what you've accomplished and what to do next. And you can download the full version of this guide right here at www.esri.com/launchguide. And I encourage you to take a copy of this and talk about it with your account manager or your EAP technical advisor. It provides you a simple roadmap for adopting a location platform as broadly as you want across your organization. It gives you the process. Everybody got that? The basic premise of this guide is that GIS professionals, many of you, can deliver maps and apps to users who in turn create outcomes for the business. So this process repeats itself over time through iterations, and it's driven by your business priorities and the outcomes that they're going to deliver. So the technology that you use is flexible, but it's often delivered through a web GIS platform, so giving users lightweight maps and apps to help them make decisions. And we recommend that you follow this approach iteratively. So you start with one or a few business units at first, and then once they're up and running, then you can move to another set of business units. You can continue to repeat this approach in an agile way as you work your way across your organization. So this graphic illustrates working with one or a few business units at first during the first quarter of a year, and then moving to the second set every 3 months. And the time you spend on each of those little circles, each of those groups, really depends on your organization. So it's up to you. But to give you a frame of reference, we think about doing this in a period of 3 months. So we're not talking about long-term, three-year plans unless you're talking about lots of little iterations within that cycle. So the start of every iteration is what we call a location value assessment, which is what I'm going to talk to you more about. So a location value assessment is a series of meetings that bring together all of your key stakeholders to determine the benefits that location information and spatial analysis can bring them. It's important because it clarifies why you're using the technology and it gets them excited to move forward, right? It helps your stakeholders understand what's in it for them. And the outcome of the location value assessment is that your organization will get a list of the many ways that it could be using location, and then you can pick a set of ideas from that list for pilot projects. So for most organizations, you should be really thinking about maybe 2 days of location value assessment meetings. So in 2 days, you can schedule sessions with up to 6 different business groups. And you want to schedule people together that are working in either the same business area or on the same initiative. So if you start combining people from across business areas or initiatives, they tend not to be interested in what each other are saying. So for a local government, for example, this might be public works as one group, economic development, assessments, capital projects, fire, solid waste. But that could be, you could do the same thing in a commercial enterprise as well. So who attends these meetings, right? So who are you going to invite to these meetings that you're going to have? Well, first, the session will host one or more representatives from a similar group, right? They're at the top of this graphic. If you go counterclockwise to the left of the graphic, usually you'll have a GIS manager or a champion of this initiative if you don't have a GIS manager. Continuing to the bottom of the graphic, some organizations like to have ESRI consultants facilitate the meeting and join the meeting. And so that's optional. You don't need to do that. The guide outlines the same process that you'll follow if someone's there with you. Likewise, some organizations like to have support IT or data specialists to join the session. They're also optional, because at this point, you're not really diving into the weeds about the data, but it's good for them to hear what the business is asking about. So the key to this session is really in finding that representative from the business. They could be an executive, but they don't need to be. What you want them to have is enough experience or authority to speak on behalf of that group. So the representative that you're inviting, so if you're thinking about who would I bring to this meeting, they need to be able to talk about what the group does, how geography is relevant to the work that they do, what capabilities they would gain from using maps, and how important are each of those ideas, so the ability to prioritize, and then also what is the value of using maps and apps in that way? So being able to define the business value or purpose behind what they're asking for. Any CIOs in the room? No CIOs? Okay. Well, unless your title begins with chief and ends with officer, now's about the time that you wonder how you're going to be able to get these people from your organization to sit in a room with you and meet with you for 2.5 hours. But I'm going to tell you that's probably not something that you need to worry about. Most likely, these people will want to attend this meeting. Does anyone know why? Does anybody want to guess why they want to attend? Somebody knows. They don't want to be left out. Any other reasons?
They want to know the cost.
Yeah, they want to know the cost. Well, because they're going to get tools to enhance their work. So people like to get useful things, right? And they like to give input into what they're getting. Have any of you ever gotten a haircut without giving your input as to what it should look like? I won't do that again. Nope. At this point, some people have reservations about asking their end users what they want. So people who have reservations typically are concerned about these types of things. These people will come in with a wish list of ideas that are not realistic or practical. Anybody? Did that resonate with anybody in the room? No? At least one of you. Yeah. Or worse, they'll come in with bad ideas. So they're realistic, but they're not useful to the organization. Alternatively, some people, they don't know what they want. So they're looking for ideas from me. They want me to tell them what they want. Now, my experience has shown me that you can apply influence to any of these concerns by using this location value assessment approach. First, you can bring people back to reality by getting them to describe the business value of each of their ideas. So they need to tell you why it's relevant. Second, you avoid rolling out bad ideas by using a pilot project. So a pilot project validates that maps and apps are achieving their business outcomes before being rolled out more broadly. And third, if business areas don't know what they want, how can they expect you to know? Some organizations apply a method that I like to call throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. And while that some people use that, that's a really inefficient method that's based on a high failure rate and a high tolerance for failure. And while that's okay for some organizations, that doesn't work with most of the enterprise organizations we work with. So let's assume that people will attend, and you're ready to start scheduling them. To help people prepare, the people from the business area, these representatives, prepare for the meeting, what I like to do is I like to send them a note. And that note includes a description of why we're meeting, a brief video to introduce them to GIS, and two questions to prepare them to talk. And in the past, I tried the approach of sending a questionnaire. Do any of you use questionnaires? Nobody? Okay, good. Because I found that people don't like them. People don't like questionnaires. They don't read them. They don't use them. But if you send people two questions, then the chances are they'll look at it and think about it. So it might also be useful to give these representatives a demo of the technology before they come to the meeting so that they can see what's possible. It's really not a good idea to try to demo technology when you're having this conversation. And the reason for that is people will feel like they're being sold to, and then they tend to disengage. And what you want them to do is to take ownership over the meeting, and you want them to engage. And so the way to do that is to not demo the technology at the meeting. And I was going to show you a video that I usually share, but I'm not going to click it because I know what happens. Fool me once. But this is like a two-minute video, and I know I don't have a little picture here, but if you want to look it up, it's on Esri 380. It's called Maps Are So Powerful. Or anybody who wants to see the video, I can show you after the presentation. But it's about 2 minutes, and it's very friendly to people who don't have a GIS background. So when you want to prepare them to come into this meeting to talk with you, I send them a link to this, Maps Are So Powerful. And it gives them a broad-based understanding of how GIS is relevant, could be relevant to their work. So when you have this workshop, how will you know that you did it well? So what's the measure of success? How do you know you want to come out there, you went in there feeling like it's Monday, right? You want to come out of there feeling like it's Friday. So really, there are two measures of success. First, you want to have a mutual...
Just on the last slide.
Sure. Yes. What are the two questions? I don't remember exactly what they are, and I thought somebody might ask. I can pull it up after, but it's what are you doing? So what initiatives are you working on? What are you responsible for? And also, there may be a question there about how is geography relevant to the work that you're doing, or how do you want to be using it? But just as high level as that. I don't get into too much detail. And I'll pull up the exact questions after the presentation. Okay. And so the two measures of success are really, you want to create a mutual understanding. So the business areas talk more about what they're doing to the GIS folks, and the GIS folks help show the business areas what's achievable, right? So focusing on what's achievable. Second, you'll have identified and prioritize some opportunities to enhance their workflows with geography. Which brings us to our next topic. Identify, evaluate, and prioritize location information and spatial analysis to the organization. So when we identify this value during these LVA workshops, I take notes. And the purpose of these notes is to diagram the context and the relationships between the organization on one side, on the left, and then the tools that we implement all the way over on the right. And I'm going to break this down for you. We start with the organization. That's where all of you work. And the organization has business areas, which are organizational units of people. And there's also a similar concept called initiatives, which are cross-departmental. So maybe you don't all sit in the department, but you're all working on the same thing. So they're cross-departmental goals or objectives. And whether they're business areas or initiatives, this is where you get your representatives. So when you want to meet with someone, they're coming from one of these, a business area or an initiative. And then within each business area, there are business functions, which is what the group is responsible for or the services that they perform. And initiatives have a similar concept called actions. And actions are ways the organization plans to organize its resources against their initiatives. So this tells us what the people in that group are doing. So again, we need to know who they are and what they're doing. And then we get them to talk to us about how they do their work. So within each function, there are processes, and processes tell us how they deliver that function. And we call these processes workflows. Again, this is how people do their work. So then we capture the notes in this way so that when someone asks for a capability, like they may ask for the ability to get information into the hands of a mobile workforce, we know how that relates to the work that they're doing. So we map the capabilities they're asking for to the workflows. I know it sounds a little confusing, but when you go in practice, it's actually really useful because then people don't throw ideas out there that don't relate to their work or that they don't have ownership over. It really, like, maintaining that understanding of the context of what you're doing is really important. So it really comes down to how we capture these ideas. You should have the business area representatives start to describe what the group is responsible for and how they deliver on that responsibility. And that will help you come to a mutual understanding of how geography is relevant to the work that they do. And then when it's time to identify ideas, you should focus on the capabilities that the users need. So at this point, you put aside discussions of data and technology. It's okay to assume that they're just gonna, that they might deliver that capability through a map or an app. But for each of these capabilities, you also wanna capture the business value and the priority. So here's an example of one of the type of notes that I might put together after one of these meetings so that I can share them back with the attendees and then also executives. So typically I put together about a half page that talks about what the group does, and then I put together a list of what they're asking for. And for each of the things that they're asking for, I make sure that I capture, for example, this is a direct marketing group at a hotel. And I make sure that I capture the capability that they're looking for. So they're looking for the ability to determine which neighborhood should receive a marketing offer. And then associated with that capability, we capture how we might deliver that. And in this case, they're looking for a map of neighborhoods which meet selection criteria and a list of corresponding email and postal addresses. So a list is geographic information as well if it's defined by the geography. And then they also tell us what the value of that is. And in this case, it's around increasing the effectiveness of marketing spend to reduce the cost to prepare that distribution list. So marketing spend and also cost reduction. So please raise your hand if any of you like work in an organization where you already document something like this, like the business value of every map or app that you prepare. One of you.
We're wanting to get to that.
Wanting to get to that. Okay, good. Well, hopefully I'll share some insights here about how we do that so that you can take that back with you. So you may already know why this is so important, right? But if some of you are less familiar, defining the business value is really important for several reasons. First, it clarifies why you're doing the project. Second, it increases business alignment, which is one of those goals that I talked to you about earlier. And it gives your GIS professionals the context they need to do their design. It also warrants your continued investment in maintenance, training, and support. And it avoids deploying apps that don't get used or supported, which nobody wants to be in that boat. So ultimately, it helps us implement maps that can make a real difference. So how do we describe business value? Think about your organization. And what's a common type of business value? So you said you may track your business value for your organization. So what is the way you define that value?
It could be reducing risk, reducing costs, increasing customers, increasing performance.
That's fantastic. Those are four great ways to define it. Has anybody else define the value of why they're doing their maps and apps?
Understand faster what to do.
So for a lot of people, that's the first message is around we're doing this to save time, right? That's a very common, that's probably one of the most common, and also decision support. So when I hear that it saves us time, well, time is money. So really, I think about that as a financial benefit, right? So it's going to help us reduce or decrease costs. However, saving time is different for different people. And as you mentioned, it's also could be about saving time so that we can serve more customers. Or it could be saving time so that you can increase your capacity or efficiency. But that's only one type of benefit. So saving time is one type of benefit, and there are lots of others, as you described. We can also reduce risk or volatility. We can increase quality. We can increase customer satisfaction or regulatory compliance, or we could also increase revenue. So some of you may know the term ROI or return on investment. Anybody heard that term before? Okay, several of you, right? ROI is just a financial calculation that organizations use to measure these. To measure these benefits. You cannot have ROI unless your maps are relevant to your business. And the way that you make them relevant is by defining their business value in these terms. As a side note, there's an article by a consulting firm called McKinsey & Company. I don't know if you've heard of it. They have an interesting article. They published it. It was called How CIOs Should Think About Business Value. And the punchline is that businesses should, the business areas, not the IT, should own the IT projects and the value that those projects create. And that the business value is really the strategic and economic benefits of value and use, not what it costs to buy it, but what are the benefits that we're getting out of it. And so I'm kind of saying the same thing here, and I'm giving you an approach on how to define it. So if you take this approach, now you can answer someone's question, why are we investing in GIS? Why should we buy that new server, or why should we hire that new person? Does anybody in here get that question? At least one of you gets that question. Yeah, two of you. We calculate the value of GIS as the sum of the value of each of the maps or capabilities. So if we know that we're doing this for this reason and that's worth this to us, and we're also doing this, we can just add these things up. And then that tells you what the value of your GIS is as a system by bringing it down into the components. So let's transition to what happens after you have these meetings. So after your LVA meetings, some people have a different set of concerns. Some people are like, wow, I didn't realize there'd be so many opportunities. Maybe there are too many opportunities. Or I want to help, but these ideas might take some time to implement. Or my team may, there might be a learning curve. My team might need to learn some more before we can start to implement some of these ideas. So this is after you've got all these great ideas. Well, my experience has shown that you can also apply influence to these areas as well. So first, the business area sets the priority. You get them to define that for you. And you only need to address the highest priority items first. So most of the organizations I work with, they pick a set of 5 to 10 maps or apps to deploy first. Or it could be 20% of the ideas that people come up with. And they push the, and they revisit the lesser priorities later on. Second, the organizations that I've worked with have been very successful when they set expectations. And what that means is, some of them say, we're only going to address those projects that we can do within the next 3 months. So they're only going after the easy projects first. Other ones say, we're putting together a strategic plan of 3 years, and we want to understand where your needs fit into each year of that plan. So with whatever approach you take, as long as you tell the business areas up front about when they should start expecting some of the things they ask for, then it's very easy to manage their expectations. Well, easy. It's easier to manage their expectations. And last, when you talk about learning curve, you can, it's great to build experience. You can build experience with some of the easier ones to do, some of the easier ideas. These are the low effort ones that can help you demonstrate quick wins. So have any of you ever heard the term low hanging fruit? Please raise your hand if you heard what I'm telling you. Okay, now reach up, twist, and pull down that apple, because this is where you get your low hanging fruit. I've been in lots of meetings where people say, it would be amazing if we could just see our contact list on a map. And we're like, yeah, it's going to take a little bit. And you go back to your office and it's done in 5 minutes, right? And then you can look really good. And so this is another way that you can do that. So this is a way to get that low-hanging fruit. Now, I also want to let you in on a little secret, right? So I just got to tell you, the business area sets the priority. They tell you what's most important. But if you end up meeting with lots of different business areas, you're also going to have to reprioritize. So you're going to have to look across your organization so they know what the priority is for them. But when you're looking, you got to look more broadly because a lot of you support more than one group. And so when you walk away, you're going to reprioritize at the organizational level. And some of the questions, well, how the organizations reprioritize is different for every organization. But some of the ways that they make set those priorities are, is it aligned with the organization's mission? Is it what the executive wants? So the person who's sponsoring this, what helped them fulfill one of their goals? Does it overlap with other maps and apps? So if I do one thing for one area, is it going to help me support and deliver to some other areas? And then are we ready to pilot this? You know, will it be easy for us both to deliver, but then also to maintain? And so how ready your group is also an important factor to determining which you do first at the organization level. So there's this really interesting matrix up here. It's called a benefit versus value matrix. And it helps you actually pick which of your projects that you want to do first based on the value to your organization and also the risk to your organization. So on one axis, you have benefits. They go from high or unmanageable to low and manageable. And then on the other axis, you have challenges. The challenges are high and unmanageable to low and manageable, and the benefits are low and uncertain to high and clear. So if you plot your projects on this, which of these shapes would you do first? Does anybody want to guess? You can just jot it out. Which shape do you do first?
Green.
Okay, great. Okay, exactly, green shape, the oval. I agree. So you want to start with aggressively embrace, right? So you want to deliver rapid value to your organization and then prioritize projects with the greatest benefit and the lowest risk. So which would you do second? This one's a little trickier. Some people say the rectangle, the blue one. I would suggest actually the purple one. And the reason I'd suggest that is that you want to develop new skills, right? So now we're moving into something that is...
Is the mission statement, the direction of that industry or your business clear before you set that path or not?
It could be, but that's only one way which organizations decide. So if you don't have a good mission statement, sometimes your boss already knows what's most important, so the executive decides. Or you know what's the easiest to do and the fastest to do, so regardless of whether it's aligned with your mission, you're going to do the thing which can demonstrate a quick win. So you can really use any of those if you don't have a clear mission.
If you have a clear net mission, you could actually really use a blue square.
You could, but I was going to say why you'd want to do purple is because if you start down here, these projects are good development and learning opportunities. So they're easier to accomplish. Even though they're less valuable, they're easier to accomplish. You use them as training opportunities for your people. And so then they develop the skills that they need to pursue, as many of you guessed, the blue square, right? So now these are more challenging projects, but you've got some under your belt, and now your people are... Also, some of these rectangle projects, they take longer to plan and longer to deliver. Could be data dependencies, technology dependencies, etc. But they will be easier to achieve if now that you have some experience under your belt. And then last, you want to avoid these low-value projects altogether. Just don't even do them. The low-value, hard projects. These are in one of those resources that I pointed to you earlier. So if you didn't capture it before when we were talking about the patterns of use, they're in this document again, architecting the ArcGIS platform best practices. So you can, if you don't have it already, you should grab a picture. There's a great one pager on that prioritization matrix. Everybody got it? www.esri.com/software/ArcGIS/deployment. So there you have it. That's the LVA approach. And so for most of you, it means 1 to 3 days of meeting with your business areas to help them define what you're going to do so you can help them create some outcomes. It's worthwhile talking a little bit about what happens next, just to give you guys some additional context. So I'll give you an example of one of the local governments that I worked with that took this approach. So they had a great GIS group, which hopefully a lot of you in here are fortunate to have that as well. They had a really great approach. They had great people, great technology, and they had an effective approach to a GIS as a system of record. And I think Jack may have talked to you about a system of record. But they also wanted to grow and become a smart community and move in with a system of engagement. So by taking this LVA approach, they build excitement with their CIO, they build excitement with their user departments, and now Esri will support them with a WebGIS launch kit to help provide their GIS staff some hands-on experience with the technology, with ArcGIS Online, and then set up some sample groups and build out some sample apps that were identified during the LVA. So you can think about doing the same thing. So you have these meetings, and then you could deploy some maps. So if you remember this slide from the beginning, we start by identifying the value, and then we go about using technology to receive that value. And then we call that next step of using the technology a pilot project. This is also in that guide that I linked you to earlier called Launching Your Location Platform. Oh, there it is. So it's the details of the pilot are all in there about what it means to have a pilot. So, do any of you know the two reasons for doing a pilot project? Two reasons. If you know one, just guess one. You can go ahead, shout it out. One of the reasons you do a pilot.
Easy to do.
Easy to do. Okay, great.
Learn.
You learn.
See if it works and how much it costs.
See if it works and how much it costs. Great. That from a technical standpoint, right? See if it works technically. Anybody else?
Minimize risks.
Minimize risks. Yeah, great.
Implement my proof of concept.
Yeah, you could implement. Exactly. Yeah, so I tend to think about it these two ways. One, you're making sure it works from two different angles. You're really about, you want to make sure that you're validating the business value. That's why you do a pilot, in addition to making sure that it technically performs. Does anybody know if it fails this test, what you do?
Quit.
Quit, exactly. You drop it or you tune it. And you could tune the value or you could tune the technology. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands that. So when we talk about pilots, you really, those are the really the two reasons, the two things that you're piloting. And so when you're ready for that pilot, these are some more resources that are available to you. So the three resources, again, first, I'm beating this drum. The first document's about architecting your platform, so it'll help you with some architecture best practices. And then next, there's a promoting your location platform, a change management kit, and that will help you get people excited and on board. It talks about how you can do things like lunch and learns, put up posters, there's some sample posters in there for you, and it helps you address the people side of the change you're going to do in your organization. And the last one is administering your location platform, best practices and resources. That's for your administrators. So that will help them with some great advice on how they administer some of these tools, set up groups and things like that. So if anybody wants to capture this, I would suggest it. And some of them have short URLs like change kit and admin resources. Great. So take a second right now to think about what this would mean for your organization, right? How would higher business alignment impact your strategy that you're taking right now? And would you like to demonstrate the value of geography through some real business outcomes at your organization? If you want to take this into action, then I think in terms of the basics, people, process, and technology. And the action that we perform is a combination of training and support, taking this LVA approach, and then also enabling your ArcGIS platform. So in this session, we talked a lot about the process. What you do, the meetings you set up, who you invite, what type of notes you take, how you capture that information, that's the process. And it's laid out for you in that guide, Launching Your Location Platform. It's all documented there for you. And you're probably already familiar with the technology side of things. But let's focus on the people side for just a second. So ultimately, it's your people that deliver this process. And so where do good people come from? So some of us were just born good. Was anybody else born good? Anybody else here born good? No? Okay. Well, the rest of us were made good through training and support. Lessons we learned over time. And so one of the things that you can do to help get your people trained and supported is to give them access to these resources that I shared with you today. So ultimately, this collection, what you see on your screen, summarizes our best ideas about how to help your organization. Whether it's the language of spatial analysis, so the ways that we use geography to answer questions, to help us understand where things are, how they relate, what it all means, and what actions to take. Or it's the MOOCs or other free online training available to you. This guide for architecting the ArcGIS platform, or these three other guides on launching your location platform, promoting your location platform, or administering your location platform. And some customers like us to work together on their first iteration. So, for example, Esri could come and facilitate your location value assessment. That's one of the things I talked about earlier that I do, go and visit customers and help them organize their meeting and run their meeting. And then after that first iteration, many of our customers just repeat this approach on their own as they work with other parts of their organization. And I thought I would show a brief video to you, but I'm not going to do that because I know better than that. But there's another video out on our webpage. This is with an organization called Inland Empire Health Plan. They're a health insurer. And in the video, if anybody wants to see it after or visit the link, you'll hear how they talk about how they went through their location value experience. And you'll hear from their CEO, their CIO, and their other executives. And they'll talk about how they met with different groups across their business, and they came up with 20 ideas about how geography was really relevant to the work that they did. And right now, they're implementing all those ideas. So let's recap some of the key themes of this session. First, you want to use GIS and geography to create outcomes for your organization. Second, you realize those outcomes through your location strategy. And that strategy needs to be aligned with your business needs. And the way to identify those business needs is to take a location value assessment approach. And I shared some of our best practices around how we identify, prioritize, and evaluate those ideas. We ask the business areas to take ownership over the ideas, right? So get them to define the strategic and economic benefits or value and use of the maps and apps they come up with. And then after the location value assessment, we validate those ideas through pilot projects. And Esri offers services to support you with your LVA, as well as services to help you with your pilot project and beyond. At this point, I want to open it up to questions. So does anyone have any questions? Who would like to go first? No questions? Any of it scare you? Any of it resonate? Sure. Two questions.
I got a question. So quite a few slides ago, you were talking about value and how you determine value. And so you were tying that to the information products, which I totally agree with. But a lot of the work that we do is our foundational projects, right? So you're not even thinking about it. I mean, you think about them, but the information products are way, way down the path, right? So how do you consider, like, how you demonstrate value, like, early on in that kind of thing?
Sure. Did everybody hear his question? So he said, you know, we're tying the value of GIS to the information products, which he agrees with. But he said some of the projects we do are foundational. So we're spatially enabling the data, or we're setting up an environment or technology platform on which to build information products. So how do I define the value of that? And I would say that sometimes that's what you do. But if you're making those decisions, if you're investing in that technology without an understanding of how it's going to be used, then you're putting yourself at risk of falling in one of those pitfalls. You might be at that, we're doing software at the software level. I know that chronologically, the information products are down the road. You have to have the technology installed before you can configure the apps against it and before people can use the apps. But when you're thinking about why you're doing it, just like Roger said, the most important thing to take away from this meeting is understanding what you want to get out of that technology. And so if you're installing a foundation without already having that end goal in mind, I think, is it Stephen Covey or somebody else has something else, another phrase, one of those seven habits, like begin with the end in mind, then you're at risk. Hopefully, you're all starting with the value and then working backwards to say, okay, now this is the technology that's going to help us achieve that. This is the data we need. This is the software we need to create and maintain that data. This is the infrastructure on which we need to deliver that technology. So from that tier. Do you guys remember that tier thing, the green boxes? There is a question in the back as well. So what knowledge do they have to have, the people? So which people? The people from the business area or the people who are facilitating the meeting, like the champion or the JS manager? Both. So the people who are coming to the meeting don't have to have a lot of GIS background. As a matter of fact, typically they don't. Typically it's the people who don't have geospatial understanding that really need to the two success criteria. One of them was getting a shared understanding of how geography is relevant to their work. People who have been using GIS for a long time, they may already know that, right? So usually you're working with someone who has very light understanding. And to prepare them, I suggest sending them the video, a note about why we're meeting, and potentially doing a demo before the meeting. As far as the other people in the room that are running the meeting, they should have some experience in GIS. And so whether they exist in your organization or you get someone from an outside organization, because really they're the other half of the equation. They're the ones that help understand what's achievable through GIS for the group that it's new to. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Okay, good. Other questions? Yeah, that's exactly right. So those new people, they're easy to please, usually. Sometimes not, but you can always prioritize those, do the easy to please stuff first. But then once they get the tools in their hands, another thing we've seen is that they begin to understand that they can ask more complex questions. Other questions? Yes. So I think he already spoke this morning, but there's this gentleman named David Schneider who talks about organizational change management as well. So if you want me to make that connection for you, we could do that after. But one of the things that he argues is there was a gentleman at Harvard who wrote like eight steps to organizational change management or something like that. And one of the things they say is you might, those people that aren't willing to work with you, you might just be able to move them to neutral. You probably won't be able to move them to your advocates or your proponents. So he argues about enlisting a volunteer army, demonstrating successes with the people that are willing to work with you first before you move on to working with those people. So that would be my advice. So if you can pick and choose, work with the willing at first. And if you want more information from David Schneider or as it relates to organizational change management, I can help you out with that as well. Unfortunately, it was like 8:30 this morning, or else I'd recommend that as a resource to you guys as well. Other questions? Yes?
How do you handle personnel change? Like, let's say you've had initial meetings or something, and then the head of the department is switched to somebody else. Do you just start the process over again, or do you finish what you were working on with the person that's no longer there? Like, how do you adjust to changes in staff?
So which side? So on the GIS side, on the business side? On the business side. Well, the person that you're working with, they really serve a couple purposes. You want them to take ownership over the project because they have, earlier I said, what are their characteristics? They have experience and influence. So if you lose the person with influence, either what you're doing needs to be fantastic or you need to find that other person who's going to influence the people in that organization to use the tools. Does that make sense? Because part of it is about making that happen. So if you're working with someone, if you're far enough along where you've already finished the design phase and you've already implemented tools, you could lose a sponsor. By then, people are up and running. But if it's really early, you may need to just validate with whoever that new person in the business area is that point in fact, yes, that wasn't somebody's ego. That really is useful. People really need this to do their work. Does that make sense? So you want to make sure that you have a sponsor defined on that side. Other questions? Anybody else? Great. Well, thank you for your attendance. Please take our survey. This is how we make these sessions better for you. You can put in there, don't show videos, whatever you like. Or come up later. I mean, we have time. I could show you any of the videos. If anybody wants to meet with me, I'm here for the next couple minutes. I'm also, on the expo floor, there's a booth called the Platform Enablement Area, and there's a strategy and planning kiosk there. So anybody who wants to come and talk about strategy and planning, come visit me on the expo floor today and tomorrow. Thank you.